Welcome back to Health Bite, the podcast for small actionable bites towards healthy living. I believe your relationship with food is a window into your relationship with yourself. In this podcast, we will explore how to redefine this relationship so that not only can you achieve your weight loss goals, but greater mental, emotional, and physical well-being as well. I'm your host, Dr. Adrienne Udeem, and if you find value here today, head over to wherever you listen, rate this episode, and leave us a review. So on this week's Health Bite, weight maintenance. You've lost it, now what? Anyone who has lost weight knows that losing weight is one thing, and keeping it off, well, girl, that is quite another. So this week on Health Bite, let's discuss why it's so hard to keep that weight off and what can be done about it to make it just a little easier. I want to start with the physiology, and I know I've discussed the physiology of weight loss in the past, but I need to repeat it here because understanding the physiology is critical to understanding why it's so dang hard to keep the weight off. And to help motivate us to practice the behaviors that will help us in keeping the weight off and in maintaining healthy weight, and to have compassion for the fact that it is so hard to do. So remember that our hunger is managed by a whole set of hormones, chemicals that are released by our gut, released by our pancreas, released by our fat cells, all of which converge on those appetite centers in the hypothalamus of the brain to determine if yes, you are hungry or nope, you are full. And when we lose weight, these hormones that signal hunger, like GLP-1, and remember this hormone is the one that is mimicked by the popular drug Ozempic. When we lose weight, these hunger hormones actually go up, triggering more hunger, increasing our feeling of hunger at the level of the brain. And the hormones that signal fullness, such as leptin, for example, this is a hormone that's released by our fat cells and tells our brains we are full. What happens to those fullness hormones when we lose weight? Yep, you guessed it. Levels of those hormones drop. And the question is, why? Why would God do this to us? And the reason is that our bodies were not created to lose weight. Our bodies have not evolved in order to manage food excess. From an evolutionary perspective, our bodies have evolved to manage food scarcity. What does that mean? That means that our bodies evolved to send alarm bells when we receive inadequate nutrients, when we experience a drop in our calorie intake. Our bodies are going to send signals to motivate us to seek out food because, again, we historically were faced with a situation of food scarcity. We needed to be motivated in every way possible to go seek out food, to harvest those plants, or even before harvesting, to find that animal to kill and to sustain our food intake. We were not in a situation of overabundance, of calorie abundance. And so we develop mechanisms to keep us from starving. What else happens when we lose weight? Well, our metabolism drops. And again, this is a function of weight loss, no matter how we lose weight. Think about it. Our metabolism is basically the energy or the calories needed to keep us alive, to keep all of our cellular processes running. And if we lose 10 pounds, that's 10 pounds of flesh, muscle, tissues, cells that are no longer requiring and using up energy because they no longer exist. So by definition, our metabolism drops because we don't need as many calories. We don't need as much energy in order to maintain that new body weight. That means we have to consume less food than we did prior to losing weight in order to maintain our new weight. And again, this is irrespective of how we lose weight. So there's some myths out there that this only happens when we diet a certain way. And it's true that certain diets will mess with our metabolism more than others. But even if you do all the right things and lose weight in all the right ways, by definition, weight loss equals less body, which means you require less energy to sustain that body. I know it's not fair, but that is the way it is. So let's understand the physiology. Let's have compassion for why it is that it is so hard for us. And then let's shift our focus onto the strategies that we can use to manage this change and to prevent weight regain. So some of the things that I'm going to tell you are not necessarily new to you, I know, but I want you to think about it with a new lens. And so the first piece of advice that I'm going to give for weight maintenance is eating a balanced diet. First up is protein. And again, I know this sounds like you've heard it before, but listen up, because if you're like most of my patients, you are still, despite my preaching, way, way under consuming protein. What are the recommendations for protein intake? Well, for weight loss, they are approximately 80 to 100 grams per day. Compare that to the RDA, or the recommended dietary intake of protein, which is set by the government to be about 40 grams. I am telling you that you need 80 to 100 grams per day. And again, there may be variations depending on your body size and your body weight. So this is, you know, nuanced. And if you have any specifics or specific health issues or concerns, please get information from your own physician. This does not substitute medical advice. But I will tell you that the studies have shown that when people consume the RDA for protein, like 40 grams, they lose their weight primarily from muscle, not from fat, which is what we want to lose, but primarily from muscle. Whereas when they double up on that protein and consume 80 to 100 grams, they lose weight primarily from fat and preserve muscle, which is what we want, remember? So eating protein, high levels of protein, will help us preserve muscle, which will help us preserve metabolism, which will help us to maintain our weight loss easier. The other point is that protein will help increase the release of GLP-1. Remember that Ozempic hormone, that hormone that signals fullness at the level of the brain? We know that the more protein you eat, the more GLP-1 you release by the gut, which, if you take out all the nerdy science, basically means you feel fuller longer. In fact, they did a study, the breakfast study, where they took two groups of individuals. In one group, they gave them a 350-calorie high-carb breakfast, and then in the other group, a 350-calorie high-protein breakfast. Both arms got the same amount of calories, but the macronutrient was different, high-protein versus high-carbohydrate. And they checked their GLP-1 levels throughout the day, this hormone that helps us feel full. And what they found was the high-protein breakfast eaters were more likely to release higher amounts of GLP-1 throughout the day compared to the carb folks, to the high-carb breakfast eaters. And what that translated into was less food intake overall, including a reduced intake of snacks in the protein eaters as compared to the carb eaters. So guys, this really matters. When you eat a higher protein meal throughout the day, not only for breakfast, not only will you help preserve the right kind of weight, lean mass versus fat, but you are also more likely to enhance satiety or a feeling of fullness. And again, when you feel full longer, you are going to eat less and therefore be better able to maintain your weight loss. So take home point number one is increase your protein overall and at every meal. It will contribute to greater fullness and to weight maintenance. Next up is your veggies. And again, I know this is an obvious one too, but remember, veggies are literally no calories and are filled with nutrients. My favorite example that I bring up often in my practice and on this podcast is arugula. I eat arugula every single day. Arugula is about 5 calories per cup. And yet it has 30 vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. So envision all of the nutrients that you are getting without any of the energy density. These are nutrients that your body needs to fulfill its basic physiologic processes. So don't skimp. I want you to eat as much, as often, as many colors as you can, because this is just taking up real estate in your stomach while offering you nutrition, while offering you nutrients. So my second tip for weight maintenance is load up in excess of your veggies. Number three, my third dietary advice is please don't forget your carbs, the good carbs. Carbs like beans and legumes, which are also, by the way, a great source of protein. They are also a source of fiber, which is so important to helping us feel full. And yet, we undermine our carb intake because we are such a carb-phobic society. We are so afraid of carbs. But let's remember that not all carbs are the same. Asparagus is not the same as a Pop-Tart, which is not the same as a cup of lentils. And yet they are all carbs. Having a high, good carbohydrate diet will help with weight maintenance because it'll help support satiety or fullness, as opposed to your processed carbs, which cause fluctuations in blood sugar, including that sugar crash, which we've talked about, which actually promotes hunger and promotes cravings. So the goal here is not to eliminate carbs. It's to consume the right kind of carb to support your satiety and therefore to support weight maintenance. Now that we've talked about food, let's go on and talk about exercise. Because again, when you lose weight, you are losing metabolism. You are losing body, flesh, and therefore the metabolism or the energy that's required to maintain that weight, to maintain that body. How do you make up for this gap? We make it up by incorporating physical activity. Exercise is not a huge predictor of weight loss. And if you've tried to lose weight in the past, you know that it's really the food that determines your weight loss. A lot of patients will come in and say, oh, I got a trainer and I've been working with him 3 days a week for 6 months and I haven't lost weight. Yep, it does not help promote weight loss by and large, but it is a huge predictor in weight maintenance. Why? Because as I stated already, it helps meet that gap, that difference between what you were burning at a higher weight and what you are burning now at your lower weight. The other thing is that exercise helps preferentially lose fat mass. Does that make sense? So when you're losing weight, like I discussed earlier, you can lose fat or you can lose muscle. Obviously, we don't want the latter. We want to lose fat, not muscle. Exercise is the way in which we determine what kind of weight we lose. So exercising while you lose weight and continuing it after the fact is a huge predictor of weight maintenance. Number three is self-monitoring. And self-monitoring can take many forms. You can weigh yourself regularly. Some people can tolerate it daily without getting too consumed by the numbers. If that's not you, do it weekly perhaps, but don't stick your head in the sand. I would much rather you learn to manage the numbers, to be with the numbers in a non-judgmental and compassionate way, to understand that the number is just a metric that we can use, like blood pressure is a number, like heart rate is a number. Don't overly identify with it, and therefore you can use it as a tool to help you with weight maintenance, as opposed to using it as a tool to self-deprecate and make yourself feel like crap. Use it as a tool, as a metric. If that's too hard, there are other ways that we can self-monitor, including food logging. So not necessarily calorie counting that can be triggering for some people, but just monitoring what you're eating by writing it down. There are studies that have shown that we underestimate our food intake by up to 2,000 calories per day. 2,000 calories. Why is that? It's because we're not mindful when we eat. So it's just not on our radar. When we food log or write down the food that we consume, it just adds a level of mindfulness. So again, I want you to think of this monitoring tool not as a way to shame yourself, but as a way to offer yourself more information. And then finally, there are other more techie monitoring tools like Fitbits, like Aura rings for sleep. There are technical ways or apps you can use to monitor your food intake. There are apps that you can take photos of your food and help you determine your macros and your calories if you wish. A lot of tools out there that can help you. The bottom line, though, is that self-monitoring is associated with weight maintenance. Why? Because it keeps you accountable to yourself. It keeps you mindful of your actions. And so find a self-monitoring tool that suits you and use it as a form of accountability to yourself, because studies have shown that it is a big predictor of weight maintenance.
Hi, friends. It's Dr. Adrian, and I'm dropping into your podcast to offer a love letter to you. I believe that our hunger represents our unmet emotional and spiritual needs. And by leaning in and listening to our hunger, we have an opportunity to hear our needs and to respond. I know this not only from personal experience, but from listening to the stories of hundreds, if not thousands of patients over the past almost 20 years. I have compiled these stories, including my own, into Hungry for More, Stories and Science to Inspire Weight Loss from the Inside Out. This book is not just about weight loss, but about life, and contains lessons that I know to be life-changing. If you don't believe me, head over to my website at dradriannedim.com, where you can obtain a free sample, or to amazon.com and check out the reviews for yourself.
The next, number four, is getting back on the wagon. And actually, self-monitoring is a really important key to that, right? Because when we self-monitor, it's one way to acknowledge or to determine that we are, quote, off the wagon. And so it may prompt us, if we can use it in a mindful way, to get back on. But getting back on the wagon requires, number one, that we manage our expectations. And this is where I want you to understand that managing our weight is a process. It is not a destination. And that is the expectation I want you to have of yourself and of your body. When we think of the typical female, we go through puberty. That is a time that's associated with weight gain. We go through social changes, like perhaps moving away for college. That's a time that's associated with weight gain. Our bodies may go through pregnancy. That's a time that's associated with weight gain. Our bodies go through perimenopause and menopause. That is a time that's associated with weight gain. And so we have to understand and expect that our bodies are going to ebb and flow through times in our life in which weight gain is just part of the deal. Now, if you put aside the physiology, there's also the normalcy of life. Maybe a pandemic happens and you have weight gain. Maybe you go on vacation for a weekend or for a week or for 3 months of the summer and you experience weight gain. It is okay. If you can manage your expectations and understand that this is part of the deal, then you are much more likely to get back on the wagon, as opposed to what happens when you don't have realistic expectations. When you expect this process to be one and done, I've lost my weight and now I should ride off into the sunset to the sounds of confetti and blaring trumpets, as I say in my book, Hungry for More. That's not how it works. And if we can understand that about ourselves and have compassion for ourselves in that process, then we are much less likely to self-deprecate and throw in the towel for good than to meet ourselves where we're at and get back on the wagon. Build that muscle. Build your resilience towards your limitations, towards feeling disappointed, and being able to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and persevere in the effort of healthy weight maintenance. Number five, understand your hunger. So remember at the beginning of the podcast, I went into maybe painfully nerdy detail about the physiology of weight loss and what happens to our hunger hormones. When you lose weight, you are going to go through a period where you're going to experience more hunger because your body is adapting. Your body is adjusting to this new weight. It's kind of freaking out because it's not sure, are you starving yourself or not? And so you're going to go through a period of time where your hunger hormones are going to go up by as much as 30% compared to your normal or to your baseline. I don't want you starving yourself. I want you to feed yourself in a balanced way, like we said in tip number one. But if you know that you have fed yourself in a balanced way and you've nourished yourself adequately, learn to not respond to those alarm bells. Learn to sit with maybe a little bit of hunger, to tolerate a little bit of hunger. Because what you may find is if you sit with that little sliver of hunger, that with time, it'll go away. Remember that it takes time for your gut to communicate with your brain, for your gut to tell your brain, woohoo, I got some food down here. You can shut off that hunger. And if we don't give ourselves time, if we eat until we are 100, 150% full, we've already passed the fullness. You may find 20, 30 minutes later, oh, wow, not only did I eat until I was full, but I ate past being full. Whereas if you get in the practice of 80%, eating to the point that you are 80% full and sitting with that hunger because you know you fed yourself adequately and wait that 20, 30 minutes, you may find, lo and behold, I'm actually full now, even though it didn't feel like it 10, 15, or 20 minutes ago. The other part of understanding your hunger, and this is something that I go into great, great detail in my book, Hungry for More, is know that there are other reasons that we eat and other reasons that we are hungry other than physiologic hunger for food. We are, as human beings, emotional eaters. And that, again, is ingrained in our physiology. So ask yourself, why am I hungry? If I just ate a big meal and I'm finding myself rummaging in the pantry, What am I really hungry for? Am I just tired and need to take a break from my laptop? Am I listless and need to go out and get a breath of fresh air? Am I tired and I just need to call it a night and go to sleep or maybe take a nap? Am I lonely and I need to pick up the phone and reach out to a friend? What is that hunger signaling? Answer that call. And finally, stay in community. We tend to be isolated people doing our things in an isolated way. We are a culture of strivers, of independent strivers that have learned that we have to go at it alone. And I'm telling you, going at it alone is not the right way. Whether it is you are trying to lose weight and maintain it, whether you are trying to quit your smoking habit, if you're trying to limit or eliminate alcohol from your life, anytime you are trying to change an ingrained habit or make a new change, it is always easier when it's done in community. So find your tribe. Maybe that's finding a coach or a counselor or a physician or a therapist. Maybe that's finding a group of like-minded individuals in person or online. The beauty of the pandemic is that so many of these communities became available to us. It is no longer about who is in your immediate circle. It's a global community. So reach out and find your tribe and stay connected and stay in community. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Which of these strategies have you tried and which of them have you not tried? What are you committed to trying? And consider coming into my community on Instagram at Dr. Adrienne Udim. Shoot me a message and let me know how you're doing. And if you're ready to take your next bite of action, head over to the show notes right now and sign up for my newsletter, where you will immediately get straight into your inbox my 5-step guide to health and well-being. It is filled with tips, motivation, and steps to nourish yourself, mind, and body. Whether you are interested in weight loss, weight maintenance, or just healthy living, this guide is for you. Well, that's all for this week. I thank you for your time, as time is our most precious resource, and I appreciate that you're spending some of that preciousness with me. I will see you here again next week on Health Bite. Until then, bye now.